soul on the market.
Blog Talk Radio.
Infants died while using it.
House Oversight Committee Chairwoman Carolyn Maloney called Mattel's actions absolutely shocking and a national scandal. The New York Democrat added that Mattel put profits over people with tragic results. More people are returning to normal life after over a year of the COVID-19 pandemic. That's according to the results of a new Gallup poll, which shows less than 1 in 4 people are completely or mostly isolating from those outside their home. That's down from more than 75% of folks in April of 2020. An agreement has been reached on a bill that would legalize recreational marijuana in Connecticut. Legislative leaders and Governor Ned Lamont have reached a deal on a comprehensive 300-page bill that would bring retail stores to Connecticut by May of next year. The bill would also allow medical patients to grow up to 6 pot plants in the home and would let all other adults have 3 plants. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Here are the major rules for all KKNW Call to Win contests. After our contest on-air cue to call, the first completed call received at 888-298-KKNW or number given at time of contest will be selected and verified as the winner. You could win a prize valued up to $100. To be eligible, you must be at least 18 years old, have not won in the last 30 days, and reside within the KKNW listening area. Complete contest rules are available at 1150kknw.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see pretty much clouds and rain on and off throughout the day today. A few sun breaks mixed in. High temperatures around 63, 64 degrees. Tonight, yep, those clouds and rain will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down about 48. For Tuesday, Wednesday, and for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies. Rain at times. High temperatures hovering in the mid-60s and low temperatures in the low 50s.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 a.m. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
On the way to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Just really thrilled to have you here. Hi, Benny. Hi, Olivia. Welcome to both of you. Happy June Pride Month.
Back at you. Thank you.
Back at me is good.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I love about this is the Seattle Pride Parade, for those of you out there, is June 26th. So I think I made an incorrect announcement the other day. Just want to say today is the 7th, and I just want to say that MTE Pride Week, June 7th, at Mount Lake Terrace Elementary, PTO, happening June 7th to June 12th. What? Yes. Welcome to the 21st century, and to see the progress, to see the awareness, to see the opening, to see it all. And by the way, you all asked me, yes, Olympia is also, there's an Olympic View Arena. There is also a Seattle Pride Classic. I didn't know this, Benny. Did you know all of this stuff in this area, like here? Like our studios in Montlake Terrace. I knew you guys are in Bellevue, but... Are you aware of, like, all the really cool stuff
For the most part, the majors, I mean, of course, we have other radio stations in our group that are part of the Pride Month and all the activities that run around. It seems like every year there's more that arrives for this month.
Yeah, so just so you know, now I don't know about if the restrictions, I mean, honestly, it sounds like these things are going to happen given what we wear and the masks and the whole thing, but it sounds like these events are happening.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so of all the events here, which one have I participated in that I absolutely hated? Which one do you think? Is it, I'm going to give you multiple choice, Benny. You ready?
Oh, boy.
Olivia, you too. Okay. I'm going to give you like four things. You got to pick one.
All right.
All right.
A?
Seattle Gay Pride Parade. That's June 26th. That's number one. The 2021 Run Walk with Pride. That's June 26th. Are both of those things happening? Okay. Following me so far?
Yep.
Okay. June. Hold on. I got it right here. Gosh, I gave out the wrong information. I know. I got so many emails from giving out the wrong information. Okay, you ready? Seattle Pride. This is it. Friday Gay Pride Party on the 18th. And then the last one, Pride Karaoke. Which one do you think I did, and I hated it more than anything, but I did it for the cause?
Probably karaoke.
Yes.
That'd be my guess.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, that was just easy. That was
Oh, my gosh. And we'll have to talk tomorrow about what song I picked that was so absolutely painstaking for anybody that was there. I don't drink, but I'll tell you, anybody that was there probably put down a few during my
game. But at first, were you afraid? Were you petrified?
Yes, I was petrified.
Okay, that's the start of the lyrics to a song. I didn't know if that was the one you were singing.
Do you want me to go with that song?
That might be a start.
We can go with that song because I did survive.
Yeah, you did.
I totally did survive.
That's my point.
Yes, again. Yes. So just to make everybody aware, this is what the information is, and we said we were going to mention something every day about this. Also, you should know that on the Psychic and the Doc, just so everybody knows, we have a fantastic interview that we did that's going to play. But also we're honoring Pride in the people that have come out. So this Thursday, the 10th, you guys are going to get to meet Kim Powers. And then Herb Ankren, her producer, right? You know, Hollywood, we already did that interview. That's in the can. You'll also hear that. Today, I want to talk to everybody about a phenomenon. And I love, Benny, when we get people that come through and we think about things that are so intuitive to so many. And I've often asked this question, what is it about us that is so drawn to Atlanteans? Now, I'm talking Atlanteans, period. But what is it about our draw to understanding them? You know, why did the feedback come back on Aquaman movie and before the movie? Why did the feedback come back on that was so compelling? Why did so many think that it was a great representation of Atlanteans and a really awful one? Why did so many people comment, well, what about this forgotten civilization? Do we think that perhaps we have somehow in our DNA, we just have that investigated knowledge, you know, that thing that says to all of us, we don't have any facts, but we know it's there. That's what my guest today, Ghost of Atlantis, How the Echoes of Lost Civilization Influence Our Modern World. Are you kidding? So much. J. Douglas Kenyon joining me here today. We're going to talk about both the physical and the spiritual evidence of a lost great culture. But ask yourself this question. I mean, we've been talking about this a lot, probably because we're going to launch our Cosmos channel, which is all about, some people said I should name it something else, but please, we'll probably have a contest about that, Olivia. But here's the thing. Why are we so drawn to civilizations like the Atlantean civilization? Why are we so drawn to it? Are they calling us? Is it within us? Is this something that we are supposed to listen to? And ask yourself this question. What happens when you have somebody investigate this, seriously investigate this, and come back and talk about Göbekli Tepe, talk about the pyramids, talk about Atlantis in the Bible, talk about ancient Armageddon? That's my guest today, joining me here today. You know, Ghost of Atlantis, you know, he is here, editor and publisher of Atlantis Rising magazine. But what is it that's happening consciously and subconsciously? Great to have you join us here today, Douglas. It's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
So let's start with my comment. Our pop culture is so drawn to Atlantis and Atlanteans. I mean, in any way you can think about it, you know, mega movies, blockbusters, people arguing as to whether what's her name, Heard, should be replaced the princess. I mean, there's so much conversation about it. And then when people see it, nobody says, that doesn't exist. What is happening underneath the consciousness level about this?
Well, in my view, of course, there's a famous quote from Pogo by Walt Kelly a few years ago. Remember, we have met the enemy and he is us. But the thing is that I'm not saying we're the enemy, but I'm saying that it comes down to this, that we were the Atlanteans. Of course, you have to buy into the idea of reincarnation to look at that. But I think that if you look at our collective unconscious, I think you can look at it as a kind of an ocean, and that you have to dive down into to get in touch with our lost selves. And that I think a good example of that is the story of the Titanic, where you have a you were looking at a model of the current civilization representing its great achievements and its mastery of all that it surveyed, and then it's cast down, in, you know, to the bottom of the sea. And we are fascinated by it. We keep trying to locate its ruins. It's because we are connected to it, and we know that its story is somehow or other our story. So that's the essence of it, from my point of view.
You know, let me ask you about the follow-up to this question, which is this need to investigate. Something is lost. I mean, people feel it, right? And they feel something's lost with this. And it's really interesting. They don't say, I'm lost. I feel like something's lost. But when there is something that reminds us of it, there's something that clicks. You know what I mean? You ever try to remember something and you can't remember it? And it's like, what was that? What was that thing I was trying to remember? Oh, I don't remember it. And then all of a sudden there'll be a
clue. It's going to be my age, you'll
And then there'll be a clue, and then it'll be like an entire visualization. You know, I want to ask you, what is longing? What is just happening to us that we are longing to discover this, that we are in search of lost records?
Well, I think that you have to look at the idea of amnesia. And the thing is that and amnesia accompanies trauma. You know, it wasn't we went through an experience where we lost something and there's pain involved, a lot of pain. And so basically it's an area where if we start to look at it and get a little bit too close to it, it starts to hurt. And I think that I think, frankly, the effort to suppress this has been codified. It's become, there's a book I really like from the 1960s called The Canticle for League Whips. And it was a story of, I don't know if you've ever read it, but I bring it up because it's an example of the kind of thing we're talking about in that story. It was aftermath to an atomic holocaust. But, you know, hundreds of years later, you know, here's a group of, in the story, they're basically monks or friars, you know, in the desert trying to understand what happened to the ancients a few hundred, you know, a couple hundred years before. And the thing is that they don't understand it at all. And if you look at it and you look at it, you see, well, that's us. Our past is a mystery to us, a complete mystery. We don't, but the thing is, as we get closer to it and as we pull away the layers and so forth, we start to discover that we've got a lot in common with that. And, of course, I think that makes a lot of sense if you realize that they're us, and we're looking at our own history, and that's the only thing that makes sense in all of this, in my view.
Yeah, you know, there's so much that you put in your book. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, how wise were the ancients? You know, and I've talked about this a lot. How wise were they? You know, when you think about all of the cues and clues and things they left, why is it we're not talking more about things like the Dead Sea Scrolls? You know, what is it about us that wants to uncover the secrets, and yet at the same time, we don't really have them all? When we come back, we're going to talk about how this wisdom, how these secrets, how they all come forward to initiate a new knowing. That's what investigations are about. I love it. I love when we investigate things. When we come back, I'm not the investigator today. My very special guest is, everybody. And we are talking about ghosts of Atlantis. We're going to talk about who they are. It's really Aquaman. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnutsonSpeaks.com.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Like doing all of that, both of those, I'm Dr. Pat. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio Thrive By, played here exclusively, not really, but played here on Transformation Talk Radio, KKNW AM 1150, and across the big pond, thanks to Sean Eisen over in the Australia channel. So I want to say thank you to all of you in Australia that are listening. Look, this is J. Douglas Kenyon joining me here today. It's my reference to Douglas, of course. Ghosts of Atlantis, How the Echoes of Lost Civilization Influence Our Modern World. By the way, we have three copies of this book. It's just amazing. It's the kind of book you want to sit down and read and talk to somebody. You know, when the question that Douglas asked, could the original builders of the monuments of Giza have left behind such records, but have hidden them so well that they could elude detection for millennia? I love that he's asking these questions, because then he follows up with information. How did they get a copy of the book, and how do they find out more about you?
Well, it's available on Amazon, for one thing, and so you can always... And it's available actually any place books are sold. You can get it. It's pretty accessible. I think Barnes & Noble and all of the big chains are carrying it through. And sure. Inner Traditions, of course, does a pretty good job on the distribution front.
Yep.
So that's what's happening.
Yep. Inner Traditions, thank you again, Manzanita Carpenter-Sons. Probably got her name wrong. Thank you for sending this book and Douglas our way. Okay, Douglas, here we go. I want to start with this question that you pose in the book, and I can't wait for you to share your answer, because this is more than a book for you. This is a lifetime passion. So what if these clues were left, and somehow, for some reason, we just can't find them? What doors does that open, and how did that inspire you to bring the connections to all of this to the forefront?
Well, way back in the 1980s, and actually earlier, I got interested in the idea that that civilization as we knew it was an actual aftermath. It wasn't the beginning. It was perhaps the kind of the twilight of something. It was. And that if you really wanted to know where things came from, you had to get into that more deeply. You had to actually look at where those where it comes from. And anyway, I became convinced that the world in which we find ourselves was experiencing amnesia. I know a lot of people throw that around, but the guy who was really kind of the initiator of that concept for most people was Emmanuel Velikovsky. And Velikovsky was also considered the father of catastrophism, which is the idea that that history on Earth has been punctuated by a number of events which have basically scarred us in many respects and left us, wounded. And we don't realize that because we basically kind of pieced together our history and brought ourselves, and we decided that the world we experienced is normal, and therefore we have papered over a lot of the gaps in our culture. But if you look at it, you look at it more deeply, then you can see how it explains an awful lot. And certainly, I think the interest in pop culture. I mean, I tried to write a screenplay back in the 80s, and I talk about that. And I tried to capitalize on the whole idea of what Atlantis really represents as an insight into our past. And I think that this idea that it takes the archetype of going deep into the unconscious and contacting what it is that we left behind is a very intriguing idea. Of course, I think that reincarnation is a part of this. I think that's the one thing that kind of explains how all of this fits together. I know a lot of people, I'm not saying Bilakowski was into that, because he was more of a, he thought there was some kind of racial memory that enabled us to retain our knowledge of past events. And that's been kind of debunked in a lot of scientific study. But I think that there are things that that make the connections that that we have to look at, and that's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, and you know what I love about all of this is because each of us listening to this show, just so everybody knows, you know, think about how you feel, and think about how you feel. Let me explain what I mean by think about how you feel. Think about what happens when you get a reference to what Doug is talking about. Think of what happens when something outside, something you see, draws you. I mean, think about this, for example. Why would you, perhaps if you're you or if you're me, who grew up in an environment that had nothing to do with ISIS, had nothing to do with crystals, and nothing to do with any of that, why would we be so drawn to the phenomenon of some of these cultures? Why would that happen? And I think, Doug, that's what you're talking about. Just because I'm a kid that grew up in the Bronx in the cement jungle, it's not logical for me to have ISIS statues, to have crystals, right? Where would I have gotten that from? I didn't grow up in that environment. So can you talk to the fact that there is a connection to the ancients in a way that we didn't understand? And I think in your book you talk about what did the ancients have or what did they know that we don't. And see, that is what's so mysterious to me. And I wonder what it will take for us to know it.
Well, I don't think it's a simple answer. I mean,
no.
I think that, you know, if you really want to understand, I think you obviously the ancients had a level of wisdom that we've lost track of altogether, and we don't. And they had a culture that preserved all of this. And I'm thinking of you get into some people as sometimes referred to as the mystery religions or the ideas that. Where the experience of the soul is has been mapped, and that we're basically guided from revelation to revelation, and it opens our eyes and it opens our understanding to who in fact we are and what is our real agenda. And I think that this is true not only on an individual level, but it's true on a society-wide or a worldwide basis. And if you want to really understand that things have gone awry and they're not, and therefore we live in a state of, we're crippled by our experiences, and that if we're going to have a healing, which is to restore our balance in dealing with our inner dilemmas, then that's where we need some guidance, and I think we can find that in some of it in ancient sources.
I want to ask you about this because I don't believe we are the only people that need a healing or that needed a healing. You know, it's hard for me to imagine that, you know, here we are, I don't know, what do you want to call it, modern civilization, you know, and we have a healing that other civilizations didn't have. So this idea of healing, to me, seems to be multi-generational, past life related, right? You know, the interconnected connectivity to reincarnation. And yet, if all of that is true, what is it about us that holds back from looking at the evidence of superior technology of the past and what we're capable of? We're going to talk about that when we come back because it's in the book. It's in here. It's in here. Ghosts of Atlantis. What are the ghosts trying to tell us? You know, what is it that if we were truly to connect, what are some of the artifacts? What are some of the secrets? And I have to tell you, this is one of these books where when you start to read it, and you look at some of the images, and you look what Douglas has put together in the books, in the book. You know, it's almost as if I want to take each page and put them on a giant wall and see the big picture. When we come back, I would love Douglas to give us the big picture, and most importantly, what is it about what we're discovering now that's going to give us new knowledge? Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
To The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia. And I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me,
visit divineguidance.earth.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on the process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Ghost of Atlantis, How the Echoes of Lost Civilization Influence Our Modern World with Douglas, J. Douglas Kenyon. Douglas I is what I'm calling him. Look, the book is available pretty much anywhere. And I said before, this is a publication by our friends at Inner Tradition. So there you go. Douglas, there's so much in the book, and I want to get to the conversation that we were having during the break, but also before. I already get that there's a hunger to understand this, even if it's not a conscious one. You know, we're tapped into. There's so many things that you have put together, almost like a mind map, so to speak, but completed with visualizations, completed with research, you know, bringing together information. And the question really does come is, why do we want to put this information together? What is, as one of my mentors says, Pat, what's your end game? What is your end game? And I want to ask you, as you went through this, as you pull this together, there's so much you came across. I want to know what your aha moments were. You know, this is something you've been doing for a while. But when you put a book like this together and you start to talk about Dead Sea Scrolls and then you're talking about other discoveries, you have had to have a few aha moments. What were they?
Well, I've actually had a lot of them. In fact, I usually have a couple every day. But it's like connections are what we need to make. And we basically, the problem is all our, the things that would that allow us to kind of knit things together have been, it's been shattered, broken, and so forth. And so we need to kind of reconstruct the fabric that's been. I realize, I suppose I sound like I'm just talking in vague terms, but those things actually mean something. I guess you could probably talk about, well, the idea that that evidence or proof that civilization was didn't begin just 10,000 years ago with the with hunter gatherers, that there was indeed an advanced understanding that preceded that, and that we're basically just trying to kind of find our way back to that kind of understanding. But I think when you look at discoveries like, say, Göbekli Tepe, you have something that contradicts, you know, the mainstream view that's been the it's been established and basically made into a kind of received wisdom on the part of the establishment. And so anything that kind of breaks the spell and that gives us access to a deeper understanding becomes an aha moment. I published this magazine for 25 years, and every issue we did a bunch of articles that would inevitably, when I was putting them together, I would feel like it was all being, things were being revealed to me that were not widely known, and suddenly, and I was having those aha moments or those eureka moments, to quote Archimedes. It's like there's a lot of that. The book is full of that.
Yeah.
You're correct to point that out. And it is accumulation over a long period of time and pulling it together, which is the thing that I think is missing, because everything is so scattered.
Yeah.
Everything is so diffused and so forth, and that we're left basically being batted around from point to point, from case to case, and we don't get the big picture. And I think that we need the problem is we need to see a larger picture. It is the larger picture that is the missing ingredient. We're basically compelled to look at things like looking through a keyhole, in which we only get, you know, a tiny fragment of the picture. And it's like the age of specialization in which we find ourselves.
Yeah.
Where everything is boiled down to minutiae, boiled down to tiny parts and tiny pieces. And if we can't put it together into some kind of larger fabric, you know, we're not going to be able to seeing the picture is seeing the picture, and it is definitely what we're trying to do in the book. And I think that I'm not trying to say there's not more, but you've got to have a lot more than we're getting from our main sources.
You know, are you fascinated by the many, many connections in the book that, and let me jump to the idea about searching for ET, the many, many connections in the book that you have, the dots that are connected, and the way in our society we show up to seek them out. I think in your book you also referenced Jodie Foster in Contact. And, you know, I want to ask you about this because, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon. Here's the question, is it the chicken or the egg? And this is what I'd like you to comment about, please, not about really the chicken and the egg. It's not really about that. But it's the question of what came first. You know, did we as humans come first to create things, or were we the recipients of things that were given to us and in turn then created? And this is the question. And I think for me, it's a big picture question as well. You know, it goes beyond talking about the artifacts or, you know, the special structures around the globe or the fact that a dinosaur species in Africa is also found clearly in a continent where there's water separating them, and that some people say that water didn't exist. So if, in fact, all of the clues, and it doesn't matter where they were left, it doesn't matter if we're talking about the Mayans, it doesn't matter if we're talking about tribes in South Africa, people in South Africa, it doesn't matter, or Africa, period. The point is we have been given tidbits that we know of. Are we here to find the rest of them, and to what end?
Well, I think Earth is a kind of crossroads, and where you have influences from the ancient past and influences from other worlds that basically converge, you know, here in this world in which we find ourselves. I think, frankly, people err when they think the only way to explain our advanced civilization is in extraterrestrial influence. I think that you have to give more credit to the way things have evolved in the past to a much higher degree than we now realize, and that there's a history here that is an unknown history. It's not widely discussed or talked about in certain quarters because there's an interest in promoting what is John Anthony West used to call the Church of Progress, or scientism, where you're basically trying to say that civilization has achieved this very high standard now, and that therefore, and that anything that went before was just ignorance and superstition, and that now, in fact, we're discovering we have an opportunity for the first time to actually see what we've been through and to recognize it and to see the big picture and to see the forest rather than the trees. And that's where we can finally, you know, put it together. And the only way you can do that is by providing a lot of pieces.
So let me ask you this question. I mean, there are so, I mean, when I think about the book, especially as I think about your conversation in the book about DNA, and there's really not much you left out. But I want to talk about Atlantis for the remainder of the show. There are legends of Atlantis. There are fascinations with Atlantis. There are things about Atlantis which, when you say Atlantis, I would imagine that most people would say, I do believe it existed, right? You know what I mean? It's like, okay, where is it then? So it's that thing we can't see, but we do believe, right? I don't know how many people you bumped into where you say, yeah, in search of Atlantis. And they say, in search of what? It is such a popular, let me call it consciousness.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you, what is the key to that? What is the essence to that? You know, are Atlantean ghosts calling for us to do something, to say something, or have we just created Atlantis in our own minds?
Well, I think that the fact that we share these experiences is, in fact, some of the most powerful evidence of the reality of what it is we're sharing. I mean, you can make the, you can try to say, well, it's just a kind of an image that is created by the fact that a lot of people are interested in the subject and that you get your cause and effect mixed up. But I think that, you know, we're talking about the fact that we all have this in common, that we share this, is one of the most, it is a very powerful piece of evidence of the reality of what we're talking about. Where there's smoke, there's fire, is basically how I would put it. And you can, of course, you can go pretty far down that particular rabbit hole. I think there's a lot to be found there. And we've got about 500 pages there in our book making the point.
And let me ask you this question in a short time we have left. What, it, from your perspective, Douglas, you know, what are the top three discoveries that you made? Or let's just call them connecting the top three dots. What are the top three things that you discovered in writing this book where you
the main thing is the idea of pre-diluvian civilization. In other words, civilization that predated the end of the last ice age. And of course, Plato was telling the story of, you know, of a continent that sank, and that of course is the archetype for what we're talking about. And I think that the cases that make that the strongest evidence are things like I think off the coast of India, in the Gulf of Cambay, in Indonesia, in Gunung Padang, in Göbekli Tepe, and Easter Island, and many of these places, you're looking at things that have not been explained by the mainstream, even though they may think they've explained them. They've barely touched on it. And there are a lot of mysteries, a lot of contradictions, a lot of things that simply don't make sense in terms of the mainstream view of things. And these examples that I've cited, and there are more of them, and to say nothing of technology and so forth that is just completely anomalous and impossible to explain except with realizing that there was some kind of culture there that rose to great heights and fell and left us behind a legacy of understanding that we're only now beginning to put back together.
you know, let me ask you a different question. If you had a magic wand and or a little genie in a bottle, and the genie popped out and said, Douglas, I'm going to give you 3 wishes to tell me what you really, of everything you've studied, you really want the answers to.
Well, I would like to know if there was indeed a Hall of Records.
Yeah.
And that there was in fact some kind of more systematic, organized record that we could that we would be able to consult that would give us an objective and reliable picture of whatever it was that went before, and also I would like to be able to counter the mainstream argument that we are basically just living in. I mean, I think ancient history is one thing, but I'd also like to see an exposure of how our errors of understanding, our materialism and so forth, need to be basically countered in some kind of a way that would be convincing and would actually lead to people's reconsidering the way they look at the world. Maybe that's too much to ask. But,
no, I'm telling you, I gave you the genie popping out of the bottle, so it can't be too much. And, you know, the reason I ask those questions is because in your studies, and in, if I'm you and I have the wealth of knowledge that you have, the thing that has always fascinated me is early on getting a copy of Herbert Benson's book on the mind and meditation. And when Benson pointed out how many connections we have in the mind, and it's a beautiful example. I mean, it's one of the best ways to describe it that I've ever heard. And I'm not a neuroscientist. The dude is like, this is how many connections you have. Take a desk, take a sheet of paper, pile that sheet of paper, and pile it up to the moon. Okay, not enough. Keep going. Go to Pluto. Not enough. All right, go to the farthest planet you know that. Not enough. And then he says, go to 16 billion light years away. When I got that visual, I've always asked myself the question, what if the ancients had a full 100% capacity of this small percentage of our potentiality to learn and to know? And that's what I wonder. I wonder if we are stalled because we just can't figure out what these folks are trying to tell us to help us at least get 1 or 2 more percent in our brains.
I think that one of the problems with the kind of thinking that you're describing there is that it involves a moving outward, and you're moving further and further and further out. And what is really required is moving further and further in.
Yep.
And basically, the answer, whatever that the mystery of what we encounter in our outer experience is a reflection of the missing ingredients inwardly.
Yeah.
And therefore, and if you want to really point people in the right direction, you have to point them inward. And it is, of course, going inward, which is where people struggle, because in our world, where everything outwardly and is basically excuse me, everything outward is basically we've exhausted the possibilities, and we'll never get there by moving outward. It's only when we can turn inward that we'll get somewhere.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing I love about the book and the conversation, because when I read your book, one of the things I'm struck by is, what am I feeling inside? What is my intuition connecting with? Am I operating on the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension to understand the possibilities? And so what I love about what you've done is, even though you're presenting us with a lot of data, the reaction to it is an inward one. because I'm not going to go get myself, I'm not going to go dig somewhere, although, boy, if I had the time, I might want to do that, to be on sacred ground, not so I can dig, but so I can have a connection that can't be described in the physical world.
You're right. That's correct. That's what it's all about. And
yep.
I think that, and we did try to do that. I mean, that was very much what I wanted to do, was take a lot of this. And I think that people, it's, you might say it's the objective versus the subjective.
Yep.
And, of course, I think that the, and I'd like to show that there is objective support for what we're talking about. It does not contradict, you know, objective reality as we understand it, but it goes much further. And the thing is, there's the myth that's out there that tries to give people the idea that you can't, you can't have an open mind without a hole in the head.
Well, Douglas, I want to thank you for today. And I will tell you that everything that you've put in here, whether people read it in total or follow it through, it really takes you to another place. And I'm not saying to another place. I don't see myself somewhere in an Egyptian pyramid. It takes you to a place that's inside. And I think this is our struggle. It is so hard for so many of us that feel that place inside to want to stay there. And I agree with you completely. I think that in order for us to really fulfill our capacity, it's on a dimension that really is not yet explained. Doug, thank you for today. Tell us how we get the book and personal message. What do you want to leave us with today?
Well, you can get it at Amazon.com or you can get it in any bookseller. And I think that, and you can go to our website at AtlantisRising.com, and you can find out a lot of the kinds of things that we're talking about, and you can also access all the contents from Atlantis Rising magazine over the years. And we're constantly trying to expand and develop that and to offer people all the things that we tried to offer over the years and expand on it.
I love it. Thank you so much. Personal message, what do you want to leave us with today?
Well, you're always asking me things that make me think, and then I've got to stop and think, and it's going to take...
Hey, Manzanita should have warned you.
Yeah, if I have to think, you know, they told, it's like saying, was there any math involved? But anyway, I think that... we covered it in the book. That's how long it took, 500 pages to get into the book, and I can't sum it up in just a couple sentences as much as I might like to.
But thank you for joining me here today, Douglas. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KMUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you, Benny Mathers, here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. Well, good thing, folks, so far no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. Traffic's actually looking pretty good so far. Nothing really to report. A little bit of slowing on 405 northbound in the Kennedale Hill area in the construction zone, but it should smooth out here in the next couple of minutes. A little bit of sunshine peeking through after that morning rain. Hopefully it'll continue through a little bit the rest of the day. Other than that, stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and the Ancient Language of Sacred Sound. Stay tuned. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The White House says President Biden will go into his upcoming meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin with the wind at his back. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said Biden goes on this trip from a position of strength,
Sullivan added that Biden's advisors believe the U.S. will be in a materially stronger position to manage the major threats and challenges this country faces. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says New York's COVID-19-based restrictions will be effectively ended once 70% of the state is at least partially vaccinated. James Flippin reports.
Seems this applies to the adult portion of the state's population. As of now, 68.6% have gotten at least one dose. Governor Cuomo's focused on the 70% benchmark.
And then we can lift the capacity restrictions, social distancing, hygiene protocols, the health screenings, the potential tracing.
Saying the 70% mark means virtually all restrictions go away, save for some specific locations like long-term care facilities, nursing homes, schools, and public transportation.
The FDA is approving the first new Alzheimer's drug in two decades. Sarah Lee Kessler has more.
It's called aducanumab and is made by Biogen, a Massachusetts-based biotech company. The drug, given intravenously, is supposed to slow cognitive decline in early-stage dementia patients. But critics say there's not enough evidence that it actually works. FDA approval is based on Biogen conducting a new clinical trial to fill in the blanks in its research. But in the meantime, aducanumab will be available to Alzheimer's patients.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is on former President Trump's shortlist of potential running mates if he runs again in 2024. Trump told Fox Business Today he likes DeSantis a lot, noting he supported him from the beginning. He also noted there were other politicians in other states he wanted to look at for a potential running mate. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-426-0557. 800-426-0557. 800-426-0557. That's 800-426-0557.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for alternative talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see pretty much clouds and rain on and off throughout the day today. I see sun breaks mixed in. High temperatures around 63, 64 degrees tonight. Yep, those clouds and rain will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down about 48 for Tuesday, Wednesday, and for Thursday. Mostly cloudy skies, rain at times. High temperatures hovering in the mid-60s and low temperatures in the low 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring. And coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Pat. You're listening to Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio, Thrive By. For more information about us, go to drpatshow.com or transformationtalkradio.com. And a shout-out to my producers today, Mr. Benny and Jacob, tag-teaming it today. Hey, how are you guys doing?
I'm good, Pat.
Doing well. How's it going?
It's a time of discovery. I mean, that's what my very special guest and I are going to talk about today.
What haven't you found out about me in the last 20 years? If that's what you're... you're talking about...
Can I tell
you?
My bad. 20 years? Okay, wait. All right, do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Okay. God.
Wow, that was dramatic pause.
I'm just like, the reality of what you just asked just like hit me. It's like the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, yeah, still doing it, still loving it.
Yep, that's it.
You know, we have been through a lot, Benny and I. I mean, you know, we've gone through the early stages of what it was like for me to come in. Crust Busting Your Way to an Awesome Life was the original show, so just remember that. And, you know, the level by which each of us gets to grow and evolve. That's what I've learned. Without getting into specifics, Benny, is, you know, your ability to grow and evolve. And to really stay in tune with what people like me, the hosts that come on, and the other gazillion people you work with, where we are. And sometimes it makes sense about where we are, and sometimes we don't even make sense about where we are. But the one thing I love about it is that we all know that we've got to move forward bigger. We all know, even KKNW just have a new website, you know what I'm saying? We're also going to sit down and present our technology to you guys. So we all know we've got to keep growing. And if we don't step into the expansive nature of that, not just on the outside, but also on the inside. And I think, Benny, that's what I've known about you and really has been, for me, the ability to continue to grow on the inside.
There you go. I like it.
If we are not growing on the inside, I don't care what technology you got. I don't care what book you write. Doesn't matter. None of that's going to matter because you're living in your own little cocoon. And it's a little cocoon. And when you're living in a little cocoon, as we have now known for the past 18 months, that's what happens. Each of us, thank you, COVID, for this. Each of us has had to really look within to understand what we're capable of. Now, look, I've got a very special guest here today. David Elkington is joining me here today. And I want to tell you about this book for a minute. It's The Ancient Language of Sacred Sound. It's about the acoustic science of the divine. And David's here. He's got a fabulous book. We're going to give a copy away. But I must go to start this out with a quote from the book. And I love reading these books. And I love discovering what people like David are doing in the world. And I've often tried to imagine myself as him, maybe in a past life. But in the book, he starts to talk in the beginning. And I just want to say this, and then we'll go right to David. Because one of the things you should know about him is he's an academic, he's an historian. You know, he specializes in Egypto-Palestinian links, Egyptology. The work that he does and the discoveries he may announce today on the show, special announcement on the show today, talks to the fact that we are here. We know there are secrets of life. We're not quite sure who's keeping the secrets of life. But when I was reading his book, I'm going to just read this, David, if you don't mind, from your book. As we know, everything in the universe is resonant. For the universe is made up of frequencies of rhythm vibration. All things, right? All things both radiate and absorb, transmit, receive energy in this fashion. And it is conceivable that with the correct knowledge, anything and everything can be consciously tuned into. And then the question gets asked, because David references the doors of perception. You know, great quote. Here it is. This is how we're going to start our interview. Each person is at each moment capable of remembering all that has ever happened to him and of perceiving everything that is happening everywhere in the universe. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, Pat. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
I had to start with that because that, I mean, let's start big. What do they say? Go big or go home.
I think that's absolutely right, definitely, you know.
I'm starting with this because, boy, if we could get this, right? I mean, really get it. Mm. If we could get it in every cell of our body, I imagine what would happen. I want to ask you this question. This is a life's work for you. And we live in this fascination of secrets and knowing. Tell me from your perspective what the greatest secret is that we are not getting.
Oh, that's, oddly enough, that's a very difficult question, but also very, very easy. Because the answer is us. We just don't get us. Look in the mirror, look at yourself in the eyes, if you can bear to, and see if you can see who you really are. And I think that many people will turn and say, I'm really having a job trying to find me.
Yeah.
Because I have this kind of belief, the more I've looked into all of these things and all of these extraordinary phenomena that we're on the edge of announcing. You know, I'm talking about the Pentagon report about the unexplained aerial phenomena.
Oh, boy.
I'm talking about the idea of consciousness and where it comes from. And if you look at it all and you look at us, and then you look at the film The Matrix, which was taken from the Gnostic idea,
yep.
The so-called heretical Christianity, that the God that would create this world can't really be much of a God, because if he was a clever God, then he wouldn't have bothered creating anything at all. And you've got to admit there's a bit of a point to that. So I kind of look around, and then you see that everything is rhythmic vibration. Everything has a frequency of vibration. And you've got to ask yourself one question. What is real? Now, you know, we go to the big laboratories, we go to CERN, we go to, you know, the particles, they're finding smaller and smaller subatomic particles, quanta, and they still happen to be tiny packages of frequently vibrating energy, and we still can't find matter. So when you look in the sky, are you really looking at loads of stars and things and galaxies and goodness knows what else? Or is it really just an illusion? Is it really just a reflection of our deeper unconscious? That's what I ask myself.
And I'm just talking about that because I'm fascinated by connecting the dots. And I talk about this a lot. I talk about chicken and the egg. And I said, it's never really about the chicken and the egg. It's not really about that. What do we really want to know? Do we really want to know if we came up with that beautiful idea to create dot, dot, dot? Or was the idea already out there in consciousness and we happen to tune into it and get it? And, you know, I guess the thing for me is, I was influenced at a very young age by a man that I didn't quite even understand his phenomenon, his genius. I happen to be one of these old school worked at Bell Labs. Remember Bell Labs?
I do indeed.
Remember
yes.
Bell Labs?
Wonderful,
right.
Bell Labs.
Murray Hill, Bell Labs. My first job, pushing a mail cart, $61 a week, right? Ultimately, I worked my way up to a career. But I happened to get Building 15, and I happened to get the wing that this man, Arno Penzias, PhD, was on. And I'm 17, and every day on a Friday, every Friday, this guy brought in bagels. And he would talk about the universe. Now, clearly, I didn't understand that shortly thereafter, Penzias and Wilson would discover what we referred to the Big Bang, probably on Bell Labs money, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't know how they did it, but they did telephone company money to some kind of wave stuff. But this is what I want to talk about. I mean, we can't see these things, but yet we are in search for them.
You can feel them.
You can feel them, and that's my takeaway from talking with you. I don't quite understand how we're going to expand our capacity if we don't learn how to feel them. Tell me about this phenomenon and if ancient humanity knew this.
Yeah, it's a good question. I've got to say, my view of reality as it stands is that I don't think the chicken came first or the egg. I think it's what I call the omelet situation.
Thank you. They both
arrived at the same time. And I think that the rest has been cooked up by our idea of where we think we are and who we think we are. So when you're looking at rhythmic vibration, the first thing you've got to think about is, you know, clutch a book in your hand or a plant or a glass of water and say to yourself, is this real? Because what you're looking at, scientifically speaking, is a bundle of intertangled frequencies that are actually giving you the appearance of solidity and of matter. So I don't want to over-complexify this for your listeners.
Oh, please do. Come on. Bring it, David. Come on. Don't quit now. I'm skipping the break. Let's go.
Well, I mean, think of it this way. Everything in the universe actually is struck by incoming cosmic waves. Now, that could be the shock waves from supernova, from great galactic distortions. It can be anything. But when something is hit by a shock wave, if it's far away, the effect is very much like that of a bell being struck by a hammer. So when we go to church, we hear the bell ringing, we hear the bell tolling for us. We can hear it vibrating, and we have managed to make out of the chaos of vibration a series of musical notations, which makes the bell very attractive. I live not 500 yards from an English parish church, which is almost 1,000 years old. It strikes the hour, and on Sundays the bells ring. It is absolutely enchanting, but I'm fully aware of the fact that what I'm actually listening to is rhythmic vibration. Now, the earth is struck by, like a bell, by these great shock waves that come from beyond, from quasars, supernovae, and you name it. And in response to those waves, it has a frequency of vibration. And its general frequency is 32 hertz or vibrations per second. Now, by some curious coincidence, and it shouldn't be at all surprising, we, not just human beings, but life on Earth, has actually evolved within the embrace of Mother Earth, and so therefore our own brainwave patterns are harmonics of that 32 hertz frequency. Now, what's important about this is that it can create an altered state. And you go into an altered state at least twice a day, because when you go into and come out of sleep, you go through that phase where your brain is slowed right down to a theta level, which is 0.5 vibrations per second. And you go through the alpha state, which is 8 to 13, into your everyday waking state, which is in excess of 30 hertz. So the alpha state's the key point, because that's the one that harmonizes with the Earth. And when we're in that state, extraordinary things can happen. That's when we reach our potential. Because, you know, there's this great thing. If you've got a problem, sleep on it. So in other words, they're saying to you, oh, go home and get an alpha state. And it's in that extraordinary state where you can see poetry being written, you can see music being written, you can see great films being brought to birth, because it teaches us to connect all things. We see a greater expanse of the world we live in. You see, you and I every day in our everyday working rhythm, we don't bother to look around us. We just think of our job, we look straight ahead. When you're driving a car, you only look a little bit left, you only look a little bit right, but you're mostly looking ahead.
Yeah.
But imagine if you're driving in an alpha state. You're looking everywhere, up, down, right the way around, but you're making connections. You're seeing where you are. And those connections come into your mind, and miraculous things happen. Now, it's interesting that the sacred sites around the world, the great cathedrals of the Gothic, the pyramids of Egypt, of the Maya. We've got the temples and stupas all over the Far East, were all constructed to actually alter the human brainwave pattern in such a way as to make us open up. And I'll give you a good point here.
Yeah.
Europe was from around about 700 to about 1100. Was absolutely riven by internecine war, by what we call the supposed Dark Ages. And suddenly the church whether you're Christian or not, by the way, whether you're pro or anti, it doesn't matter. The great miracle of the church was to focus the minds of these people and say, now, we're going to stop all of this nonsense. We're going to focus our minds on building cathedrals. And it's a great miracle, this extraordinary economic outlay on hundreds of these extraordinary monuments that gradually, as they went up with their arches and their naves and their triforia and the ogives and the windows, the glorious, beautiful stained glass windows with the shining that comes through with the sunlight, which today cannot be reformulated. And as they went up, and people started to talk inside them, their voices began to resonate because the sound waves bounced against the windows, the walls, okay? And, of course, they were profoundly affected by this because they lived in an age of no technology, not really, not by comparison to ours. So to them, it was a miracle. And how weird is it that most of the Gothic cathedral building was really over and done with by about the 1280s, 1300s, and less than 100 years later, you end up with the Renaissance and the Enlightenment. We give ourselves the credit, but we don't build things at all to claim this, which we major.
And, I love the idea. I agree with you, too. I think the whole chicken and the egg idea was pointed out to keep us in a state of confusion and flux, and to try to search for something that perhaps had very little meaning. But it's always the thing that keeps us in a loop. And I want to ask you this question because, there is so much in our history, and there's so much in what you write in the book. And I was really fascinated by the journey that you take us on from the beginning question that I posed to you before, as we go through. And we look at one of my favorite words and also one of my favorite musical groups, Enigma. And I think about the mystery of the heart now. And we just went through 18 months where people got a sense of things going on inside of themselves that they've never had the opportunity to have before.
It's quite remarkable. Yeah, it's really had a profound effect on people. And because in a monastic sense, they've actually had time to themselves to think about where am I, what am I doing, why am I here? And that's helped them to engage on the deeper questions of existence, which actually keeps us alive and keeps us alive, not just in terms of living and breathing, but keeps us alive in terms of the way we think, the way we begin to consider ourselves and life on this planet. Because, we're all too busy at work. We've all got stressful jobs. And actually, we're not very healthy for it because it takes our minds off of appreciation of other life forms beyond ourselves. Because we have a very humanocentric idea of the world and, it makes me laugh. We got these great science fiction films coming out of Hollywood, Star Trek and goodness knows what else.
I was just talking about that.
And yet they're so primitive. It's like sort of we don't realize that we're living in the age that where 60, 70 years ago they were making the great black and white films, Earth versus the Flying Saucers. And we're still in that stage where in 20, 30 years' time, the films are making out. Exactly. They're going to be so old-fashioned. And yet the real science fiction is inside the monuments, the great sacred places.
And that really is the science fiction. And you know what I like about what's happening now, albeit I wish there were more of it, we're starting to get coverage in weird ways. I was watching something that William Shatner was moderating. And I thought for a minute, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to
He's a great man.
Yeah.
He's a really great man.
Cool guy. And I thought, oh, William Shatner, is this what are we? And it caught my attention, and I didn't leave because I saw the panel. I saw the panel of people that were on that call. And I just thought we need more panels like that because each person brought something to a conversation that left you walking away with something like,
We're not doing enough of that. And, you know, when I was reading your book, I couldn't help think of how many connections we've had to the gospel, to Christianity, to other religions. And I asked myself, what the heck happened to the generation and era of the goddess? And I think about this because despite what we've done to try to, what's the word I'm looking for, dilute, things like that show up. Conversations about Mary Magdalene show up. Mary Magdalene, and it's also, you also mentioned this in your book, there are clues in the gospel. The question now becomes, which gospel? There's the gospel of Q. There's the gospel of Thomas. But there are messages in here. But yet, I wonder from your perspective, are we getting the messages? And what are some of them that you found that you've put in the book?
Yeah, it's a really good question, actually, because I noticed, for instance, that the word Magdala, if you're dyslexic, as I am,
yeah,
you immediately see that actually it's not Magdala, but it's Amygdala, which is the shape of the arm. And the Amygdala is often be seen in the tympana of cathedrals. That's the triangle above the great entrance door that shows Jesus enthroned in heaven with a small sealed book. And he's in this kind of, so it's an almond-type shape, but it's in fact, it's a sound wave. It's exactly what a standing waveform looks like inside one of the great sacred monuments. And I was amazed at that because, interestingly enough, you know, at the beginning of St. John's Gospel, John says of Jesus, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Okay? Now, what's one word in Latin? It's universe. You see? So, again, rhythmic vibration. And the female gives birth to the hero who is in the book. She plays a major part. It's not the Earth Father, it's the Earth Mother.
Yeah.
Okay? So in a sense, the hero is the arbiter between us, humanity, and the great divine parents, God the Father and God the Mother. And oddly enough, in the very ancient period, there was a quaternity, not a trinity. It was God the Father, God the Mother, God the Son, God the Daughter. And you see this everywhere. There's a great balance going on here. I don't think the feminine, in its divine sense, ever went away. I think it did something very crafty. In the face of the onslaught of masculinity, it just hid itself away because it realized that chaps like me, we can't do without ladies. And that means, I mean that in terms of our thinking, in terms of our inspiration, in terms of the reflection of ourselves, and also that bit of the feminine that's in each one of us. And so in a way, this idea of sound,
yeah,
becomes all the more curious. I mean, I've got a quote in the book from Hildegard of Bingen, which is, the singing of words reveals their true meaning directly to the soul through bodily vibration. Great lady. She got it. It took us chaps another 200 or 300 years to start switching on the electronic monitors to see what sound did. Goodness me. So there's a lot more to this than meets the eye, or should I say meets the ear.
Yeah. And, you know, when we come back from break, what I want to talk with you about is I want to talk with you about how so connected we are to frequencies, and yet we may not know it. You know, what is it that we think about, and especially as you walk us through the salvation and the soul, I was really struck by this in a lot of ways. I was struck by it because I'm fascinated by many, many things, but also fascinated by the way you talk about the rite in the book, and especially the continuance of the relationship between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And when we come back,
how do we take this? How do we view what David, my very special guest, David Elkington, is talking about, the ancient language of the sacred sound? And when you think about this, the ancient language of the sacred sound, is it possible for us to tap into that, to know what it is, to understand sacred frequencies of things like the pyramid? And what then might you do with that? Where does it take you to? How often have you heard of ancient legends and heroes bringing this knowledge forward and the sources of these ancient religions and the resonance that is so important? When we come back, we're going to talk about, what about modern society? That's us. How do we get that connection? How do we tap into the frequency? Or are we really already doing it in some odd way? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Caring for someone with a life-altering diagnosis? You are a care hero. Navigating the unfamiliar options can be overwhelming, but you are not alone. Tune into A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Loud, twice monthly on Transformation Talk Radio. Let me guide you through your care hero journey by providing actionable information on how to care for a loved one in need. For more information about me, visit trishloud.com. That's Trish Loud, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
Are you ready to shift your life into overdrive and stop wasting your time? If so, then I want to invite you right now to the Body Regeneration Online Academy with me, Tracy Alex. In a world filled with so much information, you can get overloaded and confused, left feeling like you've tried everything and still no results. If this is you, then this platform is for you. Help you step into your power, your intuition, and gain clarity. You will learn simple tools that you can use as you walk down the street. I will teach you how to grow a stronger connection to the God consciousness. Imagine having me as your coach, shifting you, uplifting you, empowering you every week, and most of all, helping you stay connected so you can navigate your life journey with ease and grace. Nothing will be able to get in your way, but you will have a community filled with souls just like you to pick you up when you fall down and support you on your wins. No one can go this journey alone. If you are ready for your live activation, check me out at TracyLClark.com and join the TLC Body Regeneration Online Academy now.
Everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. As I said before, you know, we have very special guest David Elkington joining us here today. The book is The Ancient Language of Sacred Sound, 1-800-930-2819. We'd love to give you a copy of that book. David, before we get rolling again, I would love to know how people find out more about you, how they find out about the book. And I don't know, is today the day you tell us about the new discovery?
No, that's going to come in a couple of months' time. We did make an announcement about a few years ago.
Okay.
But there's we're working on certain aspects of it at the moment, which will be announced, we hope, later on this year.
Okay.
But in terms of getting a hold of me, well, really, through my publisher, Inner Traditions, is the best way. Unfortunately, I'm not on social media at the present time. Social media is very censorious, I'm afraid to say, and I just refuse to have I just refuse to think of the idea of being censored. It seems to me to be not right.
Oh yeah, totally. We have to watch everything we say now, but that's why we're building our own network so we don't. But you're right, there is a level of that going on.
I can't see that God, at the beginning of creation, was about to utter the word, and standing right next to him was a censor. Sorry, God, you can't say that.
Well, if you're Google and you now have added a fifth restriction into the kind of ads, I found out the other day that, boy, I'm going off topic now, but we're going to talk about the word when we come back, by the way. But we are back. But I found the other day we were trying to do an ad message for some spiritual messaging. And I found out, oh, no, you can't do that. No more spiritual messaging and ads on Google. So there you go.
But it's very sad because the word spirit says so much about who we are. The word experience is out of the spirit. So at the beginning of creation, God utters the word, which creates all things, all rhythmic vibration, the planets, the cosmos, the solar system, everything. And spirit is a part of that. We don't know really in scientific terms, of course, what spirit is. At the moment, it's a creative concept. But let's say that actually spirit might well be rhythmic vibration. Now, interestingly enough, you were talking about the divine feminine earlier,
yeah,
about Mary Magdalene.
Yep.
And there's a heavy reference to her in the Old Testament and a figure like her, and then to Mary herself in the New Testament. Magdalene. A Magdala is a tower. And you kind of think, you know, the Tower of the Flock, Magdal, Ida, etc. And it's like, yes, okay, here we have another place of resonance. And I kind of wonder, when we look at the octave, it's interesting, the hero before Jesus in the Middle East, who is born, dies, and then is born again, is called Tammuz. And literally, that word, that name, means child of the seventh. So we're talking about the octave. So what if the divine feminine is the space in between the sounds that gives definition to what the sounds are? It's a curious one, isn't it?
It's a curious one, but it's a really important one because it's that space that, you know, the only way I could define this is, and I'd love for you to comment on this because this references to your conversation in the book about the word. And just by saying the word and just by speech and just by sound and what we hear or what we don't hear. And I got to tell you, I'm fascinated by two things. The most profound experience I've ever had in my life, and you're going to laugh a little bit, I think. It wasn't vision questing. It wasn't talking to rattlesnakes. It wasn't sitting in a home where the nest of lizards were the entire night. And it wasn't trying to make peace with a big cat that wanted to come in my medicine wheel. The most profound thing I've ever done was in Building 15. Building 15, you know the phone company back in the day is all about sound, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's all about sound. Whatever we think about the phone company now, forget that. But these people perfected sound through device, but not the way that I knew it. So I go to Building 15, and they've got frogs, and they got everything in there. And one of the people says, one of the mathematicians who taught me how to juggle said, hey, come in the sound room. And I looked in. I'm telling you, I got scared. I looked in the room. Everything was black. And there was a single chair in the corner. And he walked me into a very pretty large room. And he said, sit in this chair. Everything, the lights will go off. I've never had an experience with what I view as negative sound.
You were placed into what they call an anechoic chamber, it seems to me. And that is a chamber that is wound around and around and around and around with miles and miles of copper wiring. And what happens is that the copper wiring actually distracts any incoming vibration away from what is below it, i.e. the chamber you are sat in. Now, an interesting aspect of that is that if you sit in an anechoic chamber for long enough, your body clock will actually go beyond the 24-hour limit here on planet Earth and will be extended by approximately 16 minutes, which, believe it or not, is time on Mars.
And thank you for saying that, because I found myself, I literally missed mail trips. So I could go, literally didn't deliver mail to other people, so I could go back and spend my 45 minutes in that room. And I had never had anything like it.
Well, because what's happening here is that it's almost as if you're in a kind of a womb-like structure. You're actually being fed sound in a way that you're kind of like a fetus in the womb absorbing the fluid. Your mind is going into that wider space of the possibility and potential of where we are and who we are, which again takes me back to that story of creation kind of the very beginning.
Yes.
The word, where are we, you know? I'll give you an example of the power of words, actually, which your listeners might be interested to learn. It's a psychological test. I'm going to say one word to you, and I want you to give me the first thing that comes into your mind. Are you ready?
Yes.
Primitive. What comes into your mind?
A picture of an ape.
Right. Now then, let's look at the word. Primitive is a Latin word.
Well, can I correct myself?
Go on.
Let me tell you the truth. What came into my mind is a scene from the movie Lucy.
Yes.
And if you watch Lucy, have you seen Lucy?
I haven't seen it, but I know of it.
Okay. So there's a scene in Lucy where she is in the last end of this, where she is completely transmuted.
Yeah.
But I was so drawn to what was happening to her. And as she was going back, even universal. So when you said primitive to me, I went to that scene, right?
Right. Okay. Now, actually, it's a good thing. The film you should go back to in regarding apes and primitives is 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yes. Oh, my God. I love that.
And there's a reason why I've said that, because you mentioned it. But first of all, the word primitive, what it means in its original Latin is firstborn.
Mm.
So how does that change your idea of the ape? Suddenly you see people as they are, but they're kind of innocent. And you're thinking about the Garden of Eden, and suddenly we're a blank canvas upon which the experience is going to tell. That's the power of language.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly enough, you mentioned the ape, and of course, you fast forward to 2001, you've got the monolith.
Yeah.
My good friend, John Stuart Reed, had a phenomenal experience in the Great Pyramid in 1998, and I was there on the morning that he emerged. He did a whole load of acoustic experiments there. And he wanted to look at the standing waveforms in the pyramid to see how acoustically it had been built. Because, to be honest with you, it's an impossible monument. It's acoustically perfect. Okay? So what you do, you fire out loads of sound. It's called white sound, okay? And you've got waves of sound crisscrossing the whole lattice of the interior of the King's Chamber. But there's one spot where you can stand and the sound doesn't hit you at all. That's the standing waveform. So you're in that thing that Christ is in, that anagdal, which is above the tympana of a Gothic cathedral. He's enthroned within it. That's you when you're doing the acoustic experiments in King's Chamber. And oddly enough, the standing waveform was precisely the length and right on the spot where the sarcophagus was. So that's very profound in itself. Furthermore, the sound wave frequencies were all whole numbers. Never had that anywhere on the planet. At Chartres Cathedral, you've got 115.4895 and so on and so forth. But in the pyramid, it goes from 125.000 to 250 to 500 once you got the Grand Gallery into the King's Chamber. So John put a speaker in the base of the sarcophagus, put a membrane over it, scattered fine sand from just outside the pyramid, and threw the internal frequencies at the membrane. And what did we get? We got hieroglyphs. Okay, and at one point he said there was a pharaoh, the form of a pharaoh, literally coming in and out of the pulsing sound, winking at him. And as you see in the book, I haven't shown John's photographs in this version of the book, but what I do show is an image called the Neb-Er-Jur, which is the double eye of Horus, which a very prominent Egyptological professor here in England said is impossible. She said, this is the secret, holy, ineffable name of God in the Egyptian theology. She said it's impossible. This is the most remarkable thing. This is what Robert Watts wrote the foreword for, because when he saw that, he said, this is absolutely astonishing. And this is the key point. It had proven up to the point John did the experiments, my thesis had been, well, what if these sites were built? They alter our brainwave patterns. But what if the very language we use, when we write it down, we call it script. What if that script had come from the site? So it wasn't so much an invention by humanity, but it was actually an environmental response mechanism.
Wow.
So wherever we went to India, we got Indian language, you know, the Sanskrit. We got the Om and all of that. In the Celtic world, in Ireland and elsewhere, we got Celtic knot patterns. In certain Hebrew monuments, we got Hebrew language. And, of course, in Egypt, we got hieroglyphs. And I thought to myself, that's interesting, because in all of the hero legends worldwide, the hero is born of a virgin, he performs miracles and wonders, and then he dies for some reason, and then he's reborn. But it's always at the place. So the hero is the arbiter between the earth and us and the sky. And it's the hero in every one of these legends who brings the art of writing.
Wow.
So you've got a science of sound there in the mythologies and also in the building of the place. So your earlier question, did ancient man know about this? Yes, he did. He knew it unconsciously. Because my idea is that as we emerge from the cave-like environment in deeply primitive times, we use our primitive innocence to start to explore the world. And what did we do when we left the caves and the trees? Did we build banks, schools, shopping malls? No. The first thing we built was a sacred site. Why? Because we had to phone home. We had to stay in touch. It inspired us. Again, that word, inspiration. It's within us.
Yeah.
And our language and the meanings of language have evolved in this way. He was enthusiastic, from the Latin, entheos, in God. Everything goes back to the divine. You can't get away from it.
No. I have to tell you this, and let me follow up with this and have you comment it, because I think that this is so important as I look back at things now and I learn how to move forward, you know, how to use my experiences of what I've learned in the past. And, you know, it's interesting as I'm talking about this and, you know, have not studied any of this, but since doing the show, Benny and I were joking for 20 years, I've learned a lot. And I now realize some things that happened when I was younger, even at a very young age. I mean, I was thrown out of Catholic boarding school at age 6 because Jesus talked to me from the ninth station of the cross. And what he said to me happened to be true. He said, my mother is with you. And I got dragged to Mother Superior, who had a note from my family, my mother just died. And so you got to get thrown out of school because you can't have a vision like that. You know, Jesus just doesn't talk to a 6-year-old. It doesn't happen. But
yeah.
Here's what I've learned about things, and I'd love for you to comment about them. That experience in that, what did you call it, acoustic room?
The anechoic chamber.
Okay. I changed. A part of me inside changed. Now, how do I know that? I started to get ideas about my future. Now, I'm talking to you like this happened like this. It didn't happen like this, David. It didn't happen like this. I'll tell you how it happened. I walked out of an experience in the chamber, and I'm walking down the hall with my best friend, Linda, who's our producer who booked you now. And I turned to her, and I said, I'm going to get a PhD. And I got to tell you, I barely graduated high school, really couldn't read or write, couldn't put a sentence together. But I turned to her at 23 and said, I'm going to get a PhD. She didn't say no. She just said, yeah, of course, absolutely you will. It took a lot of years later. But where did that come from, David?
Well, this is now, right? This is what every single one of your listeners is capable of doing the same thing. I did the same thing. I didn't go to a great institution to learn all of this, because at the end of the day, even if you're in an institution, you can only learn it for yourself. And so I went to art school. I learned to think much more widely and creatively. So in the end, when it came then to studying on the foci of this, I already had a depth of experience and knowledge about the wider world in order to apply that to the minutiae of what it was I was after. And like you, I had an experience in Wells Cathedral in Somerset, built in the 1200s. I'd just been through a very passionate love affair. I was still very much in love. She'd said goodbye. I was brokenhearted. Found myself in the wilds of Somerset, in Wells, which is the smallest city in England. And there was the cathedral, and I thought, I'll go in there and have a sulk. I'll have a moan. And I saw this great door on the side of the nave, and I opened it. And there was this extraordinary staircase, and it's in the book. It's in one of the plates in the book. And you can see the stairs are worn, so from centuries of use. And you go up, and they reach up, and they spiral round. And as I closed the door behind me, I crept up, and then I could hear a choir practicing for Christmas, which was only a few weeks away. And suddenly that was it. I was no longer in my body. I was somewhere else.
Yep.
And I came out of that experience about 15 minutes later, and that was it. I was on the quest. I wanted to know what happened, why did it happen, and like you, I could see things ahead of time. And I suspect that what happens is that being in that chamber, like I was in this stairwell leading up to the chapter house, we had suddenly reached a point sound-wise, where we were no longer in the past or in the future, you were in the here and now, the eternal now. And in that moment of timelessness, you can choose where you want to be. So you can see ahead, and then you've got your, you can kind of, it's like being a bit of a, imagine being a fisherman.
Yeah.
And you're on the river, and your fish aren't really fish, they're standing waveforms. They're elements of the eternal now. And you're throwing your hook in. And suddenly, what's happening? The hook is saying to you, right, this is where you're going to go. So you're hooking the future, and you're pulling it to you. You're folding time, as Frank Herbert would have said in his novels about Dune, you know? And it's possible. Anybody can do this. Your listeners should actually go to the mirror when they go to brush their teeth at night and look at the back of the arches of the throat. They're exactly the same as the Gothic cathedrals. Now, the great tragedy today is that the church, particularly here in England, is falling to pieces because it's lost touch with the past and it's lost touch with what essentially is the spiritual technology of churches and cathedrals. So now they're using Bluetooth microphones to talk to people in their sermons. And, hey, guys, you don't need this rubbish because you've got a great big monument.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Voice. And
oh,
if you learn to use it properly, I mean, I've seen people going into cathedrals for Christmas carols, and they hear the wonderful medieval choral music for Christmas, and I've seen them coming out in tears because that's what it does to you. It grabs you emotionally, spiritually, and it links you back to Mother Earth in a way that, that tells you how fragile we are as a planet, as a race. Mm. But it also, it does something else. It opens you up.
It tells you what we're capable of on the inside. I love that example you gave. I mean, I am from New York, and at a very young age, St. Patrick's Cathedral and what would come out of there. And even going back to it now recently and seeing the construction and just the beauty of it. I mean, to just spend time in that space. And if you speak in that space, you can hear it. I mean, there's something that happens. And I don't know why people don't speak in that space, right? You know, so I tend to pray out loud. If you go into a cathedral like that, there's nobody in there. You sit down and you do what you want to do. David, I can't thank you enough for today. Thank you so much for this fantastic book. But more importantly, we want to keep on the lookout to make sure we are part of your announcement. Thank you for today. What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
I'd like you to leave you with a message of hope to say that, that we look around the world, we look at what the media are feeding us news-wise, and my idea and my message to people is don't look at them, look at yourself. Where look at the world around you and realize quite how beautiful it really is. Yeah. And go to your churches, sing your hymns, use your voice, listen to the technology of these wonderful places, and be alive and be thankful for it. Because that's the message that Christ was trying to tell us. And I think it's still very, very important.
I love it. Thank you, David, so much. Wow. And for those of you out there, The Ancient Language of Sacred Sound, by the way, here we go. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll be back on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW. It's meant for other advertisers.